Please turn with me to the letter of Paul to the Hebrews and chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And the subject before us this morning is that great shepherd of the sheep. That great shepherd of the sheep. God's greatest message, central to the history of this world and central to the Bible, is the revelation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a message of hope in a world of uncertainty. The letter to the Hebrews commences in chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And so God the Father is speaking to this world through God the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to every person that truly trusts in his way of salvation in the Lord Jesus. And therefore the main theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Jesus Christ above anything in this world. The letter to the Hebrews teaches us that Christ is the person through whom the whole universe was created. Christ is the heir of all things, through whom the whole world will ultimately bow, as the Lord of glory and justice and grace. Christ is the radiance of the Father's glory. He is the exact representation of God's perfect nature as he lived here upon earth. Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. He is superior to the angels of heaven, and Christ is equal with God the Father as God the Son. Christ is supremely exalted by God the Father. He has been given dominion and power over all creation for ever and ever. And Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Christ has accomplished, as the God-man, salvation's work on the cross at Calvary on behalf of helpless sinners who have hope now in him. Christ at Calvary is the message of God's love. It's his chief message of God's love. It's his chief, a supreme message of love. His Son, a gift, standing in the place of sinners to suffer for them. Christ, the Son of God, made man, the only one who could satisfy God's pure justice on the sinner's behalf. The only one. Christ, then, is God's ultimate revelation of himself to this world, the revelation of his love, the revelation of his truth, the revelation of his grace, the revelation of his mercy, the revelation of his peace, the revelation of his kindness, the revelation of his justice, the revelation of his power. Now, therefore, the main theme of Hebrews is the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the verses that we read by way of our text are the closing benediction of this letter to the Hebrews. Now, as you know, how we conclude a letter is very important, a very important part of our communication. It must be at all times sincere. And here, the Apostle Paul concludes with a benediction teaching us total dependence upon the triune God, for the triune God is found in these two verses. God the Father, the God of peace. He has a wonderful purpose of peace to those who trust in him. Christ the Son, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, whose blood was shed in death but now risen. God the Holy Spirit, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, the only way we can know God and walk with God is with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit working in you. And the ultimate purpose then is found at the end of our two verses, to whom be glory for ever and ever, the triune God. But this morning the message focuses upon the description of Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, when it refers to Jesus Christ as the shepherd, it refers to his work as our saviour and as our guide and as our protector, our redeemer. The sheep are those for whom he died, being those who have come to trust in him and in him alone as the Saviour, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to look first of all this morning, as we come to these verses, I want to consider the reason that there is a great shepherd in the first place. And now we can answer this question by referring to the beginning part. Now may the God of peace, which brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God as a God of peace. This is where it all begins. God as the God of peace has made it possible for there to be peace between him and us. Here is the reason that there is a great shepherd of the sheep. There is an absolute and eternal requirement, because by nature we are not at peace with God. We need a person to intervene for us, to save us, to make us right with God, to bring us into peace with God. Because our sins, unforgiven this morning, they separate us from God. And our fallen nature makes us at enmity with God. But God has made for us a way of peace in the very person of his only beloved Son. So there is a reason for a great shepherd. The reason is that the shepherd has come to save the sheep. God in his sovereign grace and love, as the God of peace, has ordained this amazing provision for us this morning. This is amazing love, because God is the one who has been offended. We have offended God by our sin. But the offended one provides the way of peace for the offender. This is amazing grace. This is not the way of the world, but it is the way of God. Amazing love, God's provision. The God of peace, the God of peace is so ordained, the great shepherd of the sheep. And the reason that there is a great shepherd is because we need a great salvation. And only Jesus as the great shepherd can save us. Now, one of the greatest deceptions of Satan in this world today is to distract us and deceive us, and so fill our minds with every other thought rather than thinking about our souls and their need to be saved, and deceiving us into thinking that this is no big issue. Satan will say in our minds, well, there is no reason for a great shepherd to save you and to guide you. In fact, this is quite offensive. You can make your own peace with God, if there is a God. But Satan has kept on message since the fall. He said to Eve, you will be like God. If you disobey God, and you take this step of rebellion, You will be like God. You will be ruling your life. You make your decisions. You don't need to be accountable to God. God has told you not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But who is God? In any case, you will not die. Eve said to Satan, we will die if we eat of this fruit. Satan said, you will not die. You will be like God, and people will be like gods in their life. They'll be their own guides. They will rule their own lives, and that is how it is today. I'm in control of my life, my body, my ambition. But it is the height of folly this morning to think that you are not accountable to God, and that you can do things your own way. There is a reason for the Great Shepherd, because we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God, and we are accountable to God. God is an issue in our life. Eternity is an issue in our life. So many thousands of people have realized this in a very sudden way in these last few weeks. Eternity is an issue. This life is not secure. And by nature we are estranged from God. And we need Jesus Christ, the Great Shepherd, to save us, to guide us, to protect us. And the God of peace has provided for us the Great Shepherd. This is the reason. But secondly, what of the assurance of the Great Shepherd? Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, God has made a covenant which is everlasting, for needy sinners to lay hold of by faith, to trust in the precious promise of God. It is ratified by both the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the everlasting covenant was the foundation of Christ's resurrection. It was the reason it was possible, because Christ at Calvary had fulfilled all God's justice. The blood of the everlasting covenant, the covenant had been sealed and ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything had been completed. It is finished. The covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace, has been sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because it was sealed on Calvary's cross by Jesus Christ in a full and complete way, and then on the third day he rose again, victorious over sin and death and hell, the God of peace, who was satisfied, raised up Jesus from the dead, the Lord Jesus from the dead. He brought him up again. Victorious over sin and death and hell. And so a sinner's salvation is sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant, and is assured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a sealing. There is an assurance. To be saved then means to be secure in his everlasting covenant of grace, his everlasting promise of grace in Christ Jesus. It means to be secure in the everlasting love of God. So as you are brought under conviction of the Holy Spirit to see your great need of a great Saviour, the Spirit leads you to the Great Shepherd. For only through the Great Shepherd, Christ Jesus, can you be accepted by God. Only through the sacrifice of the Great Shepherd, the risen Shepherd, can you be saved from the wrath of God over your sins. God is only the God of peace through Jesus Christ. And if you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus this morning, God's wrath remains over you. But thirdly, I want to look at the effect of the Great Shepherd and the everlasting covenant. Well, in verse 21 we read, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Well, as we come under the care of the great shepherd and we follow him, it means under the Holy Spirit working within us, we will be gradually moulded into his image, conforming us to Jesus Christ. The effect of the everlasting covenant in Christ Jesus applied to us, ratified by his precious blood, under the power of the Holy Spirit, conforms us to Christ Jesus. And as we are conformed to Christ Jesus, we begin to live, to do and want to do and desire to do God's will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. The only good works that we do, acceptable to the Father, are as we are being conformed to Christ, those that are in Christ Jesus, enabled of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. The good work in doing his will is all of God's doing, by his grace and for his glory. It can only be so by the enabling of the Holy Spirit within us. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. God working in you by his Holy Spirit. This is how we are enabled to obey his will. Through Jesus Christ, as we are conformed to him, as we follow him, as we look to him, as we walk with him. The Apostle Paul says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. But now I want to, by way of the final part of my message, to ask a question, to make some application. Why is it so important to know the great shepherd of the sheep in our life? Well, every one of us is on a journey. We call this the journey of life. And the question is, where is the road of your life leading you to? What is its destination? Every road has a destination. And what is your destination? And then we might ask ourselves, what are you experiencing on the road of your life? And how is your life affected by? How do you respond to these issues in your life? The times of sorrow, the times of joy, the times of gain, the times of loss, the times of health and the times of suffering. How do you respond? Who is your guide? What is your manual for life? What is your purpose in life? Well, here we are taught God's way for us. And God's way for us in the great shepherd of the sheep is to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. And so we are taught, and in God's way for us, from the God of peace, the source of all good, it is to bring us into peace with him through the Lord Jesus, and by the enabling of the Holy Spirit to work in us, conforming us to Christ, to make us those that are wanting to do his will, moulding us and guiding us, and ultimately for the glory of God. And it says here, to whom be glory for ever and ever, which is speaking to us about eternity And so the outcome of this peace, the outcome of trusting in the Great Shepherd, the outcome of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is heaven at last. To him be glory for ever and ever. To glory God, to glory our Saviour for ever and ever must mean that we're going to heaven. Because we're not going to glory him in hell, but we are going to glory him in heaven. So this is the ultimate destination. A life which has one chief aim, to bring glory to God, to praise his name, to live for him, to be well-pleasing to him. So this is the question. Where is the road of your life leading to? Who is the great one in your life? Who is your guide? Is it the great shepherd of the sheep? There are many famous people who consider themselves to be among the good and the great in society. A person may be considered, for example, to be a great actor, or a great sportsman, a great orator, a great musician. And we as teenagers, in our natural inclinations, we might put a poster up about someone that we admire, and we look at the poster and we think, oh, I'd like to be like that, and we imagine ourselves perhaps on the football field or on the cricket field or as a musician or whatever it might be. We imagine ourselves, we aspire to that. We consider this person to be a great person. And people admire them and look up to them. They desire to follow them according to their natural inclinations. But then we get disappointed. So this morning, we are considering a truly great person in whom we will never be disappointed in. One worthy of our admiration and one worthy of our trust for time and eternity. But why is Christ Jesus referred to here as being great? The God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Why is the Lord Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep? Well, he is great in his person, because he is the Son of God. He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, he took upon himself a body. He humbled himself. He was laying in a manger in Bethlehem. He was brought up in very poor circumstances. His earthly parents were of the poor strata of society. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation, but in his humility was a greatness, a majesty even, a dignity. This was all according to God's will, the Father's will for him in his life as the God-man here upon earth. But while he lived here on earth as a man, and he lived in poverty, he had no place to call his own when he was in his ministry here, he never ceased to be the Son of God. He was the God-man, great in his person, the Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, great in his responsibility. He has taken upon his shoulders, figuratively speaking, the government of the church, the well-being of the church, the responsibility of the salvation of the church. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He's great in his responsibility. Millions of sinners totally trusted in him for their salvation. How great is his responsibility? But there is so much in this letter to encourage us to trust in Jesus Christ, to grow in our respect for him. And in conclusion, I want to just to refer to one or two verses in this letter to encourage you to truly trust in this great shepherd Oh, we see something of the greatness of his power and his wisdom and his authority in the first chapter, chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways, in verse 1, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is glory. This is power. This is wisdom. This is authority. And this is great, a sacrifice. When he had by himself purged our sins at great cost. Great in his wisdom and power, authority. Great in his intercession. If you turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. A great high priest. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that we might find grace to help in time of need. Great in his understanding, great in his intercession, but great in his power to save. If you move on to chapter 7, verse 25. Oh, the greatness of our shepherd. This is what I am trying this morning to impress upon your minds. Chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost. That word uttermost. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For needy sinners that come to him uttermost. Oh, there are times in our life we are at this experience. We feel to be at the end of all things. We look at our lives and we're at the uttermost extreme in our thinking, perhaps in our experience, perhaps in our circumstances. But he is able to save to the uttermost. Those that come to God through him. There is no sinner that is beyond his power to save that comes to him and trusts in him. But then we read of his suitability in verse 26. For such a high priest, again, the great high priest was fitting for us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, speaking again about his majesty and his glory. Oh, what a suitable high priest we have. He is holy. He is harmless. He will not harm us. He will only do us good. He is undefiled. He's pure. And he's separate from sinners. He's not defiled. He's pure and holy. He is all-sufficient and all-suitable. The what of his example? Turn with me to chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, look to him, consider his example, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We need to look to the great shepherd this morning. In his suitability, in his power to save, in an example, in his example, but then in his great love. So we read in chapter 12, we move on to verse 24. to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Paul is making a comparison between coming to them, the law which condemns us, and coming to God through Christ Jesus. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things of Abel than that of Abel. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, this everlasting covenant of grace. Oh, dear friends, what a love is this, that he should speak for us in our sin, in our wretchedness, in our helplessness. We have an advocate on high, an intercessor. In his great love, he's willing to speak for us, to make intercession for us. And as we come and trust in him, we will be justified by faith in him. This great mediator makes peace between us and God. He speaks to God on our behalf, the Father on our behalf. And this is love. Here is the heart of love, to have a mediator. But then great in his faithfulness. Oh, it says in chapter 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. Well, he is the unchangeable one. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Here is faithfulness. And if we have the Lord Jesus with us, and the Lord Jesus on our side, and we're walking with him, this removes fear. I will not fear what man can do unto me, because I have the Lord as my helper, the great shepherd of the sheep. But what of his stability? In chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. This is greatness, isn't it? We can't say that, can we? We can't say that we're the same yesterday and today. But Jesus can. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. This is stability. This is security. Oh, here is a foundation for us. The unchangeable nature of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, our Redeemer, our Saviour, our Lord, the Great Shepherd, the Saviour, Jesus, is the same. Sadly, we wander. Sadly, we sin. Sadly, our feelings go up and down. Our love grows hot and cold. But the Lord Jesus remains the same. What of his sacrifice? Again, in chapter 13, verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Oh, he wasn't crucified within the walls of Jerusalem. He was suffered outside the gate. That meant he was totally rejected. He was totally despised. He was the scapegoat. That's how he was despised. Great in his sacrifice. Great in his humiliation, great in his suffering. And how we're amazed that God in his sovereignty overruled that great event at Calvary, whereby the Lord Jesus was willing to be hung on that cross, knowing that God was going to take this event and upon the cross pour out his wrath upon his only beloved Son, that there upon the Calvary's cross, it will become the great transaction that has ever been made. The transaction whereby God could be the God of peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Great in his sacrifice, in his suffering, in his death, but great then in his security. And that's where we've been thinking about this morning. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, there is his covenant. There is his everlasting covenant. This is where his security is. It's ratified, it's sealed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in this covenant, to be trusted in this covenant, to be dependent upon this covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Herein is security, everlasting security. Paul's desire as he concludes this letter is that the God of peace make you a complete person in Christ Jesus, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Why is it that you are only complete as the Holy Spirit works in you to conform you to Christ? What are you missing this morning? Why are you considered, if you are not trusted in the Lord Jesus, an incomplete person? If you are without Christ Jesus in your life, it is for this reason. Because only as you are in Christ Jesus is your soul saved and your whole being right with God. Without Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's a vital missing element in your soul. It remains spiritually dead. There's something missing. Vitally missing. There's a vital part missing. Every person has a body and a soul. Every person has an eternal destination. But not everybody has a body and a saved soul. Only those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Without your soul being saved this morning, you are incomplete. You are not a complete person. You are not at peace with God. You are totally unprepared for eternity. And so this morning, I plead with you, stop and consider and ask yourself the question, to whom are you entrusting your most precious possession, your never-dying soul? Are you concerned about it? Oh, there is only one person who can truly take care of your soul and save you and make you a complete person. And that is the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. Look to him. Trust in him. Believe in him. Follow him. Cast all your life upon him. And he will never leave you or forsake you. He will grant you peace with God. He will grant you a true purpose in life. And he will enable you, with the Spirit working within you, to live a life not for your glory, but for God's glory. Not just for time, but for all eternity. Amen.